D72 is the professional PC text multi-tool designed for automation in diagnostic, Windows repair, and malware removal. No other tool can help you automate more, relax more, and get paid with less effort than ever. Podnuts likes to thank Nick Shaw for his continued support.
Welcome to Podnuts Daily, episode number 382, a show for computer repair techs by computer repair techs. I'm your host, Jeff Halish. I'm joined today by Carrie Holzman from Tech Vets. Hey, welcome to the show, Carrie.
Hey, Jeff. Thanks for having me back.
Oh, it's great to have you back. And I always enjoy talking to you and learning a lot of good stuff. And I know you and I can go on for hours and hours and have a lot of good information.
There's a Michigan brotherhood going on there.
Yeah, there you go.
Something going on.
Well, I think
we'll get Ted Nugent on here next time.
There you go. There you go. Haven't seen him in a while.
That's because he's playing here in concert.
I know.
Can't scratch fever, man. All right.
Anyways, one of the things that Carrie and I were kind of talking before we started the show, and we were just talking about some of the things in the computer repair business that maybe we wanted to talk about. And I think the subject of this podcast is going to be free is not always free. And what I mean by that is sometimes whether ourselves as computer repair techs or even our customers, as they're buying free or not buying, as they're downloading free things to use, free tools, and the such, you know, it doesn't really pay in the end, because what they end up doing is they end up messing up their computers more, making it worse, and, you know, giving us a big job to clean up. So I think that's what we're going to kind of talk about today, because I've had some customers that, man, they want to download every free program that they can find on the internet that they think will fix their problem. And that's 99.9% of the time, not the case.
To tell you, I have a philosophy on this. What's new?
Yeah.
I have a philosophy on this. And that is what I call the cost of free. A good example of the cost of free is when I talk about, I've had some epiphanies in my life. And one of them was looking back at the end of the year paying taxes, and I look at all the money I made, and I look around and I look at what do I have?
Right.
I mean, I made all this money. Where is it? And I realized that the most expensive thing I ever purchased, it wasn't a car. It wasn't a house. It was money. I purchased money. Whoever thought of that was brilliant. So between the credit card debt and the interest on the house and the interest on the car, it's the money that I'm buying.
That, well, you know what? That is a great epiphany. Deep? That is, but it's true. You're absolutely
Whoever
right.
Whoever thought of selling money, whoever thought of that was genius. All right. What does it have to do with free? Well, where that connects for me is there are some great free utilities out there. CCleaner comes off the top of my head.
Yes.
Malwarebytes, which has a free version,
yes,
for cleaning up infections. It won't help you to prevent them, but good. CombiFix, great free utility. The problem with the average consumer is they don't know which free utilities are safe and which ones are not. And then oftentimes, correct, people get these toolbars and they don't know how they got them. And it's because Java needed to be updated, which is a great free program. But if you're not paying attention, you're going to end up having your homepage changed, or the McAfee Security Center is going to be installed or something like that, which is why I like a free program called Unchecky. Have you ever heard of Unchecky?
Yes.
So Unchecky is great because for the popular programs, it will just automatically uncheck all those unwanted toolbars and add-ons. But it doesn't work for everything. And when I go out and I do my presentations, in the wintertime, all the snowbirds come out here. When you're shoveling snow, the smart ones come out here to Arizona.
I'm going to have to try that next year.
And they live in these senior communities. They're all seniors. And I go to the senior communities. They have computer clubs. And I explain to them that I'm not going to tell you that this program is good or bad. That's for you to decide, not for me to decide. Don't ask me what antivirus I use as if my thoughts are superior or my opinion is superior. It is not. It'd be like saying, what do you like on the menu? we have different tastes. And the only way you know what you like on the menu is by trying things and deciding for yourself. So what my goal is at these presentations is to point them to free software that will not harm their computer. And it's up to them to decide whether or not they want to try it. And it's up to them to decide if they like it, regardless if I like it or not. They can dislike it for any reason at all. It doesn't have to be justified. You don't like it because it doesn't look right. You don't like it because it doesn't feel right. You don't like it. Doesn't matter why. All that matters is that you tried it and decided from your own experience that you liked it. But where the harm or the danger comes in is when you start trying stuff that nobody has advised you that is safe. So, you know, there are websites that will highlight free software and review free software. There's a site. Actually, I think TechNibble does it, but there was another site. Oh, I can't think of what's on the top of my head.
Well, you've got like CNET, you know, CNET's got their
download.com. Yeah, but no, I mean, there's a site dedicated doing nothing but reviewing free software.
Okay, okay.
And they're mostly looking at legitimate software and then letting you know what toolbars get installed and things like that. I think of a product like Alcohol 52%,
mm-hmm.
which is a great CD emulator if you want to right-click on an ISO and mount it.
Right.
So it loads virtually, but it comes with all these little add-ons and you got to uncheck everything. You got to take your time when you install it. Or you're going to end up with a lot more than just the product you wanted.
Well, and I think it goes to explaining why these companies, even the ones that are in this is the way I look at it. A lot of these programs, whether you like them or not, they are legit programs. A toolbar is a legit program. The problem is they are so intrusive on your system that it's not worth what they're trying to do. And a lot of these companies are putting on, you know, in order to pay for the software that they are making for free, they're putting advertisements in them, which come in the form of having something else downloaded on your computer. So right. That's why they do it, right or wrong, however you feel about that.
It's a business model.
It's a business model. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So you can't take free lightly, and especially you know, I'm seeing a lot of machines with BitTorrent on them.
Mm, yes.
And it's clear people are knowingly downloading things illegally. They're not using it
no.
to get the latest Linux distribution. they're downloading, you know, I want to sound cool and tell you the name of a current
Game of Thrones
rock band. They're downloading well, Game of Thrones is a good example. Absolutely. That's a great example. But I was thinking more of music. What are those kids listening to today?
I don't know. Yeah.
No, I just, you know, the latest Rihanna or the latest, what's the guy's name? Sam Smith, whatever. And you think you're getting it for free. You think I'm getting this music for free. I'm getting this TV show for free. And some of that stuff, a lot of it is misrepresented and is actually a virus.
Yes.
Yep. And so I've had this discussion with clients that I said, why did you know, you've got BitTorrent. Oh, yeah, I use that to get my music. And I got a huge music library, so make sure you don't format my hard drive because then I would lose all that. In other words, I put all this time and effort into building this library that I stole, and I don't want you to erase it. So be careful with that.
Right, right.
And then they end up in the process getting a virus, and that's the reason why I've got the machine. And I go, look. My flat rate on fixing a computer is $125. That's a pretty good deal. I come over, I pick up your computer, I bring it back to my place. I work on it at my leisure. And it also means that when a virus scan takes 90 minutes to complete, I can be doing something else instead of being stuck twiddling my thumbs.
Right, yeah.
At somebody's house that smells funny or something. So, and that, well, they're asking me a million questions and I'm trying to focus on solving a problem. That is a pretty good deal. And then when it's done, I take it back to their place, hook it back up, show them that it works, and then I get paid. But the question is, was it cheaper to pay me that $125 than it would have been had you just bought those songs you wanted or rented those movies on Netflix and
right.
got them legally and didn't have this issue of worrying about the virus? And the stuff about free software, here's the thing that gets me about a lot of the free software. These products that claim to tune up your computer, there was an article in PC World magazine that took some old computers that had not had any maintenance for a long time and ran everything from System Mechanic to CCleaner to IOBIT, System Advanced System Care, made no bit of difference on the speed or performance of the computers or reliability.
It was all in
their head. It was all in their head.
Okay.
And they said on one computer, it maybe made a difference of a second or two. But to run the program for 2 hours to get back 2 seconds,
not worth it.
It wasn't a worthy return on investment. And the newer the operating system is and the newer the computer is, the less likely you need these utilities. The utilities will tell you you need them, but there's an old expression. Don't ask a barber if you need a haircut. So in other words, they're not going to admit to you that you're not going to see a difference. Yeah, we are going to clean your registry. And they do exactly that. And you might feel better now that your registry has been cleaned. It found 1,000 different entries. But if you're going to tell me your computer's faster after that, I don't believe you.
Right.
I think it's in your head. And the tests have shown that even in cases, in rare cases where it has made a difference, it's been so insignificant. It'd be like going to the gym every day for 3 hours. Every day so that you can extend your life. And then the amount you're extending your life by is less than the amount of time you're spending at the gym. It's not a good return on the investment. I mean, that's not to say you shouldn't go to the gym. I'm just saying that there's got to be some balance there. Now, there are good free utilities. I use CCleaner.
Yes. Yep.
I still defrag a drive from time to time if it's not a solid state drive. But if you ask me, will that make a difference in the performance of the computer? No. Even defragging. Then why do you do it? Well, I don't do it very often. But if your hard drive were to fail, it's easier to recover data that is contiguous than data that is fragmented. So your likelihood of recovery on a defragmented drive is much higher. Also, if the drive is fragmented really, really badly, it's putting a lot of wear and tear on the drive. So you could be reducing the wear and tear. But when you defragment every day, you're putting more wear and tear on the drive defragmenting it. And you're spending more time waiting for that defragmentation to finish than the amount of time you're getting back in return if you hadn't defragmented it. So if it takes your drive a half an hour and you can't use the computer for half an hour while it's defragging, and in return for that, you're now a second faster, how many days have to go by before you break even on the investment of time? So I say you could still do the defrag, but maybe once every 6 months. CCleaner is fine. I recommend the portable version. Don't install it. It's a great thing about a lot of the portable versions is you don't get the toolbars.
Yeah, okay. Right?
One that gets me is Revo Uninstaller. Excellent product.
Yes.
But why would you install a product whose purpose is to uninstall products? So again, you get the portable version of that. Fine. No problem.
Yeah, that's a good tip. Yeah, I didn't even think about that because you do get those portable versions and you don't have any of the adware that comes on those different things. In CCleaner is one that I, for whatever reason, I still do install it.
Not me. I'm strictly portable on CCleaner. But the problem with CCleaner is that if you don't get the latest updates, and they're much better about it auto-updating today, but what used to happen is a Windows update would come out, and a customer would have CCleaner that they installed 6 months ago, and they'd run it without updating it.
Mm.
And then whatever CCleaner did broke something that an update did that the newer version of CCleaner addresses and won't break. So that way, by using the portable version, it forces you to get the latest version. You always want to use the latest version of software at all times, regardless of what it is.
Well, you know, and that's funny because, you know, it's still installed on my computer. Of course, when I launch it, when it says it needs an update, I update it. But, you know, using tools like D7.2, CCleaner, I believe it's got to be the portable version that's built in there because it downloads the latest, greatest one. It runs it and it doesn't stay installed. So, you know, that does make a lot more sense, you know, on there.
Think about what you're doing. What's the point of running CCleaner? Just to take stuff off of your computer that you don't want, right? To find the temp files, to free up hard drive space, and to clear the registry of orphaned entries.
Yeah? Right. Yep.
So now you're going to install a program that takes up your hard drive space and adds entries into your registry to do that?
Well, you know, and this is a good point, because one of the reasons that I did do it, you know, religiously, is because I was in the hope, I was trying to be a good technician, and I was in the hopes that the customer, when I explained to him, hey, just run this every once in, you know, maybe once a month or something like that. And I, you know, I kind of showed him how to run it. And, you know, you get these machines back, and the reality is it's never ran. They don't do anything with it. They don't take the time to learn. That's why they've hired you to take care of their problems. So that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. And I've had some people, you know, on my YouTube videos where I say, look, I can show you the results of this test, but you're not going to believe me. You're going to say I video edited it or I did something off camera. So you check it yourself if you don't believe me. And then they say, oh, he just tells you to check it himself because he knows what he says isn't true. What? I tell you to check it yourself so you can see with your own eyes. If you don't believe me that CCleaner doesn't speed your computer up, that defragmenting doesn't speed your computer. Now, unless your computer is running FAT32 Windows 98, that's a different story. But if you have a modern computer with NTFS file system, Windows 7, or even Windows Vista, and you believe that defragmenting is speeding up, I challenge you to go get yourself a stopwatch or run some performance tests before and after and see it with your own eyes. And I don't make any money from this, whether you believe me or you don't. I don't. If you use it, I don't care.
Right.
Okay. But so many people get so passionate about it. You don't know what you're talking about. I mean, I'm already foreseeing the, you know, the comment. It does speed up my computer. I know it does. Okay. Take it easy. If you believe it, far be it from me to tell you otherwise. But as a technician, time is money. And the main reason I will run CCleaner is to free up hard drive space. That's my main concern. Let's clear out all that space that's being taken up that the customer could be using for stuff they actually want and can use. And maybe, like I say, defragment the drive and clean up the registry, because I know it won't, using CCleaner, it won't cause any harm. It won't hurt anything. And psychologically, I feel better because I did it. But I can't honestly tell you that when the customer gets the computer back and they say it runs faster now, that happened because I ran CCleaner and defragged it. It more than likely happened because I updated it,
right?
Because I updated the BIOS, because I went through msconfig and prevented some things from starting up that didn't need to be starting up. And I removed viruses and I removed all the adware. And the problem with the adware is you gave it permission, whether you realize it or not, to install on your computer. So when you say, well, how come my XYZ antivirus or my malware, anti-malware product didn't remove it for me automatically? Because they get sued by those companies who say, how dare you say that our software was not welcome on their machine when the user has to click next and agree to it.
That's right.
So if you're going to remove our product, we're going to sue you. Because they will say, it could be the worst piece of software in the world. It could be the most notorious, anybody in the tech community will tell you, Conduit is one of the worst, absolutely one of the worst. And they will say, well, you got Conduit because you accepted something for free and you gave it permission.
Right. Yep.
And now Conduit is a rare one where I believe Malwarebytes will actually remove it, because it does infiltrate your search. It hijacks your search.
Oh, and it puts it all over the place. Even when you get rid of it, you've got to go in and manually get it out of your search.
Yeah, it's one of the worst. Honestly, one of the worst.
But
and I will say that that's just to protect ourselves legally. That is my opinion.
Right. Right.
Okay.
So, well,
but that's where the world we live in is I'm going to sue you. So that's why you end up with these toolbars that still remain after you run your anti-malware
product.
Then you got to go find another free product that's a tool remover tool. You know, this reminds me of, did you ever see the ad for those scissors that open up clamshell packaging so that you don't cut yourself?
Yes. Yeah.
And those scissors are packed in clamshell packaging.
Yeah, I know. it doesn't make much sense, but that you're right. That's the world we live in. And, you know, again, a lot of people, like I said before, Conduit, they get irritated, but Conduit is a legitimate search product. And you, it's just one of the ads.
Morals and the ethics that
I understand
are questionable, but unfortunately are not legislatable.
Yeah, exactly. It's tough to come against that stuff. I just remove anything that I think is slowing the system down or bogging it down. I get rid of it. But how do we get our customers to, what's a good way to get them to stop downloading the different products and services that they think is going to save the day instead of just bringing it to us and biting a bullet and paying to get it done properly?
Well, I think we have different types of customers, first of all. I deal with a lot of retired folks.
Okay.
And for the most part, they're almost afraid to do anything other than what they normally do. They're afraid of breaking the computer. And it kind of bothers me a little bit that they don't venture out and expand their knowledge.
Right, right.
Sometimes there's a cost to that. You know, the School of Hard Knocks is a good school, but the tuition can be kind of high.
Right.
But the lessons you learn from it, are they typically stay with you. It's really a catch-22 because what I tell people is, look, when I get a phone call, it's usually because somebody changed something on their computer,
okay,
meaning they installed something, they uninstalled something, or they updated something.
Right.
So if you don't do those three things, you might not need to call me, but that's not true. Because some of those updates prevent problems. So it'd be like you heard everybody who's gotten the flu shot this year, a bunch of people you know got sick.
Right. Oh, yeah.
So you say, you know what? I'm not going to get that flu shot. So instead, you get the flu. I don't know that there's a right or wrong answer here. It's an interesting problem because what I tell people is, look, anytime you see that install button come up, think twice about what you're installing. If you don't know what it is, search it on Google.
That's a good
point.
If
if it says, if you want to watch this video, you've got to download this codec, run. Run far away because the internet is really big. And whatever video you're trying to watch, you will find somewhere else that won't require a special codec.
Exactly.
Okay, that's your first warning. More viruses get spread through, you have to download this to see this. That's how they get spread. You want to see this? Whatever it is, you want to see this picture of the celebrity in a compromising position? Click here on Facebook.
Right. Yep.
You want to see who's been looking at your account on Facebook? Click here to see who. And then it says to do that, you have to click install. The minute you see that install button, that is your warning. Now, I don't want to warn people away from upgrading. Like I say, the upgrades can be very important. And the customer doesn't know which upgrades are real and which ones are not. So I tell them if it's in the bottom right corner and it pops up, it says there's an update available, it's safe to do it because at that point, if it is a virus, you're already infected anyway.
That's a good point. I didn't think about that. I tell people the same thing is, yeah, anything that's going to pop up in that little lower right-hand corner, you know, Java, Adobe Reader, whatever, or even Windows updates, go ahead and click on those and go ahead and install, you know, whatever the update is. But you're right. The infections come by in pop-ups or, you know, taking over your whole screen where they go, you know, and I always tell people too, I said, listen, it's tough because it pops up in front of you and says, you're infected. You have 300 viruses. And I go, when you go to even click anywhere on that box, even if it's a little red X, it automatically starts to install the program.
Yeah. It's just a picture of a window. It's not an actual
one. Exactly.
The example I give is as I show the audience, I take a screenshot of the control panel open. I hit the print screen button.
Okay.
With nothing open but the control panel. I go to accessories and paint and I hit paste. And then I set that as my wallpaper. And I go, my control panel doesn't work. I click on everything on the control panel. Nothing happens. I can't close the window. That's because it's not the control panel. It's a picture of the control panel. It's a little tricky.
That's really
good.
It's
a little trick we used to play on newbie techs when I worked for the man. And they did it to me once, and I think I had it figured out in like 7 seconds. I'm like, damn, Kerry's good. And I'm like, bring it on, bro. You gotta work harder than that to fool me. So yeah, the minute there's certain telltale signs that I look for when to tell if something's a picture or a real window. And one of those things is simply, if you click outside of a window, you'll see the top bar, the frame of it, changes shade.
Yep. Yeah.
And then when you bring it in focus, in other words, when you click on the active window is a different shade than all the other windows. If it's a picture, when you click on the title bar, it will actually take you to a website or go to install the product in the case of a malware fake out versus, you know, acting like a normal window.
Right, right. Yeah.
So that's one way to tell, but it can be difficult for even us techs to tell. I get fooled. I still get fooled.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen very often, but every once in a while. But I mean, I'm getting stuff in my email now. It's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. I see stuff that tells me I'm due for my court appearance. There's one going around now that says, do this if someone puts a gun to your head. And there's a video. And it's like, okay, how many times have you had a gun put to your head? It's never happened to me. I own a lot of guns, by the way.
And yeah, I've noticed that from your pictures.
I go out shooting to the desert with complete strangers. Never once has anybody ever put a gun to my head. But people, what do I do? What do I do if someone puts a gun? And you click, and then it's going to try and download something.
Right. Yep, exactly.
I'm getting a ton of those right now. And they tend to come in cycles. Like it'll be all about a specific topic. Because I get about 400 or 500 junk messages throughout the day. I want to look at my junk email right now. Catch the email marketing bug. This one's in Chinese or Japanese. I don't know what that is. This one's in Spanish. Review online doctorate education program courses. Now trending, many medical billing and coding education programs. Take control of your email marketing. Strive to excel in an online doctorate degree program. Surprisingly, none of this is for Viagra or...
Well, maybe they know you're not that old yet.
Yes, I am. But that's beside the point. But there's consolidate debt. Here's the thing. One of the ones I love is it says like the United States Postal Service or UPS or DHL couldn't deliver a package to your house.
That's a bad
details,
one.
Details are attached.
Yes.
You're telling me that they couldn't get the package to their house, to your house, but they know what your email address is?
Think about it.
But think about that for a minute.
And I understand, but here's the thing. So I've got a couple Podnuts emails now. So I've used Gmail pretty much my whole existence on the internet. So I'm spoiled. All the spam goes into a spam folder. I don't really see it every once in a blue moon. But I'll tell you, with the regular pop email addresses or even an IMAP through these, you know, the different web hosts, the problem is, you know, I'll get things like, hey, something's wrong with your PayPal account. And, you know, when I see it pop up, my heart kind of jumps until I notice that it's not from any of my regular email accounts, my personal email accounts that I would use for PayPal. But it stops me in my tracks and I pause and go, man, if I wasn't thinking, I would click on that thinking there was something wrong, you know? So it's tough to, you know, to teach people to be able to, you know, you have to be cautious on the internet. And it's a tough way to go, but
I think that for the most part you should avoid hitting that install button unless you're absolutely certain of what you're installing, and that's the best advice I can give. And with regards to products like BitTorrent and LimeWire, if that's still around, BearShare, those things are just dangerous. You're hanging out in a really bad part of town, you know, and. You know what's funny is I've run into people that say, I don't run antivirus. I know what I'm doing. I don't need it.
Well, I used to be one of those.
A good virus is one you don't even know you've got.
Yep.
There are no symptoms. You wouldn't even know you've got it. And it's quietly recording every keystroke. www.bankofamerica.com, account number, password, and it's just everything you type in, it's sending secretly. That's a well-written virus. Luckily for us, most of these virus writers are morons, and they end up breaking something in the operating system as a process in part of doing what they're doing. So luckily, the majority of the virus writers are complete idiots, because if they were smart, we wouldn't know their products were on our machine. And if you don't have antivirus installed, then what you're doing is you're like an ostrich that sticks its head in the sand. Do ostriches really do that?
I've heard that, but I don't know. I've never seen an ostrich stick its head in the sand.
Yeah, I've never seen it either. And the sand is pretty hard out here. I would think that would really hurt. But I'm sorry, I digress. And the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, and if you're a nerd, then it's nerd law that you've seen this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen this movie?
I think so, but it's been like a long, long time ago.
One of the jokes in the movie, it's British humor, is don't panic. There are these glasses that you put on. And if anything in danger happens in your environment, the glasses will turn black so you can't see it. And therefore, you won't panic.
Wow.
Okay, it's kind of dry humor.
Well, and it's true though. You know,
so if somebody approaches you with a gun, the glasses go black before you even see it happen. You know, if there's a dangerous creature around the corner, the glasses go black. So you're totally relaxed and you're not panicked.
Of course, you're dead, but you know.
Yeah. But you were relaxed. Right.
It's great. Panic. About to get into a car crash. My glasses go black. That's awesome.
Well, I mean, that happens. That does happen. People go, what happened in the car accident? They go, I don't know. Big airbag inflated in my face. I have no idea what happened. True. The airbag inflated faster than their brain could figure out that they just got hit by a car. Yep. All they know is they were driving 1 minute and they heard what sounded like a gunshot and have burn marks all over their face and hands from this airbag that just exploded at 200 miles an hour into their face at very high temperature.
Yeah. Well, it is basically a gunshot, but
if you've ever been in that, I haven't, but I've talked to people who have, and I've heard that over and over again. What happened? I don't know.
Right.
I have no idea. Well, I was going somewhere with this and I completely lost my train of thought.
Instead of sticking our heads in the sand and not paying attention to what's going on, people that don't run antivirus.
Oh, that's where I was. I was not running any of it. So if you don't have antivirus, then how would you know if you had a virus?
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't know if it was a well-written virus.
And, you know, here's another thing that I tell my customers. I said, listen, you didn't bring me the computer when it first got infected. And here's what I mean by that. What happens is you've been infected for well over a year or however long you've been running the computer. Mm-hmm. It's not until you get in, it's either bad coding from the bad guys or it's all these different bad codes running together and smashing into each other as they're trying to do the same things and run in the background that finally breaks the computer where all of a sudden Internet Explorer stops working or Google Chrome or whatever. You can't get on the internet. And that's when you brought it to me. But I can show you and go back and show you when you got infected. And how long you've been infected without you even knowing it, even with antivirus running, you know, because that's all, you know, hey, the antivirus running. And here's the problem. Most people, they will get the 60-day free trial on their computer and they either turn it on or they don't. But the ones that turn it on 60 days later, it no longer works. And they've been running for a year and a half with no antivirus or an unupdated antivirus. And it's just a mess.
Yeah, it's funny you'd bring that up because, you know, I have a whole thing on antivirus that I do.
The mob, yeah.
Yeah. I've been working on that routine. I'm getting it better. But for the benefit of those who haven't heard it.
It is good.
McAfee, Norton, Kaspersky, all of these paid for protection products seem to have this mob-like mentality. By mob, I mean like mafia.
Right.
You got a pretty nice computer here. It'd be a shame if something were to happen to it. If you give us some money, you know, this is a pretty seedy neighborhood you're hanging out in, and a fella like you Well, bad things could happen. The problem with it is that they can't guarantee your protection.
Right.
So you pay this money. It doesn't mean you're now exempt to go do whatever you want to do and not get a virus. And a lot of people think that, oh, I can go do whatever I want now. And not, it doesn't work that way. No differently than I bought a Volvo, which is known as one of the being the safest cars you can buy. So now I don't have to learn how to drive. No, it doesn't work that way. If you want to drive that Volvo into a tree, it will let you. And the Volvo will never make a claim that you may not be seriously injured or killed in one of their cars.
Right.
Regardless of how safe they claim it to be. It does not exempt you from learning how to drive. Now, people think, well, antivirus costs money. Well, no, not antivirus. Not all antivirus costs money. So the Microsoft Security Essentials is free. Yeah, but I read in the magazines and online that that's not very good. Okay. Combine it with Malwarebytes if you can get yourself a lifetime license.
Right.
And Web of Trust, which is free. Those three things I put on my clients' machines, and they are good for life, of the life of that computer. And I tell them, if any window pops up that says you have to pay money for something regarding your registry needs to be optimized or your virus, you know, pay us, you know that's fake. Because nothing I've put on your computer will ask you for any money ever.
Right.
So there's something, you know, you need to give them something simple to look for, to know immediately. And that's where the problem is. How does the average user determine a fake warning from a real one? And I always tell them, look at the top of the window. If it's Malwarebytes, the top of the window is going to say Malwarebytes. If it's Windows Defender or Security Essentials, it'll say right at the top. You got to watch the top of that window. How do you know if the website you're going to is legitimate? Look at the web URL. Look at the what do they call that? The third level name. Look at it. If you're going to a link that says it's from Amazon in your email and you hover over the link with your mouse, it should show you the real link, which might be www.amazon.somethingelse.somethingelse.somethingelse.com. That's not Amazon. Amazon would be at the end. It would be the last thing it would say is Amazon.com at the end.
Yeah. You know, this is all great advice. And I look at normal people and I just don't see them taking the time to do that type of thing because they're just
Okay. You can't make somebody care, right? But people don't like to spend. Who wants to spend money?
Right. Yeah, right? Absolutely. Well,
so they think if I spend the money on antivirus, then I don't have to worry about spending money to have you remove a virus later. But it doesn't work that way.
No. Here's how I put antivirus. Whether it's paid for or free, doesn't matter. I think a lot of times the except for Microsoft Security Essentials, the paid for products tend to run a little bit better on the systems than some of the free ones because they do some ad things and stuff like that. But I look at it like this. The virus product or antivirus product is nothing more than a speed bump. And the problem is, like we've been saying, if you go and something pops up and says, hey, do you want to install this? And you install it, you're giving it permission to install. And it's like telling people, you know, you really should read all the EULAs that pop up in front of you, you know, just to make sure you know what you're getting into.
You know what this reminds me of?
What's that?
It's really, you know, my thing is I like to take something general population already is familiar with and then apply it to computers to take some of the mystery and technical. A lot of people are afraid of the technical nature of the words that we use.
Right.
It sounds like we're really smart. I'm a complete idiot. All right. Let me just put that out there. I've learned a lot of what I've learned through beating my head against the wall
trial
15
and error.
Times and then going, you know, I probably should stop beating my head against the wall. It's starting to hurt. It's not getting me. It's not accomplishing anything.
Right. Yeah.
Have you ever had anybody come to your house and say, we will give you a free alarm system if you let us put a sign in your yard? You liking this one?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
If you let me put a sign in your yard because we want to promote our, you know, I think if your neighbors see that you've got this alarm system, that they'll sign up for as well. And all you have to pay for is the monthly monitoring.
Right.
You won't have to pay for any of the installation. We're going to do that for you in exchange for letting us put the sign in your yard. Okay. That's a gimmick.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can get alarms installed for free all day long. for paying, signing a contract for 2 years worth of monitoring. So this guy comes to my door. I don't know who this guy is. And he says to me, they must have like a sheet where they know who's got alarms. I don't know how they know. And he says, he's trying to sell me the alarm. I said, I already have one. And he looks at his paper and he looks at me and goes, you do? And I said, yes. He goes, well, who's it through? I go, excuse me if I'm not comfortable telling a complete stranger who came to my door who makes the alarm system for my house so that you could potentially know how to disable it and rob me. I'm not comfortable giving you that information. Truth of the matter is, my alarm is a 115-pound German Shepherd. And if you can get through him, then you got to deal with me because he's actually the nice one.
Exactly.
Okay. So, but I'm not going to give this information. I mean, I just gave it out to a bunch of people on the internet, but.
Right, right.
But you understand what I'm saying. This guy came to my door. He knows where I live. He's a complete stranger. And if I'm so disarmed as to give out that information, for all I know, he could be scoping people's houses out.
True.
Right? There's a scam going on right now. You're going to love this. Speaking of scams, I just read about this one the other day. Guy has somebody show up at his house while he's at work. He's got a friend coming over. He says, look, you know, here's the key. Just come on in. The guy shows up. He's got some boxes out front from UPS. Or UPS shows up, whatever, and the guy answers the door. And he calls his friend at work and he says, UPS was just here. Your package has arrived. He goes, what packages? I didn't order any packages. He goes, they got your name on them. We'll open them up. What's in there? Oh, wow. It's a bunch of boxes of Legos. Legos? Yeah, there are tons of them. I didn't order any Legos. Here's the scam. By stealing his credit card, they were able to get his address to see where he lives. They being the bad guys.
Right.
And they staked him out and saw when he left and when he came home. And they've, oh, he's leaving at 8 o'clock. He comes home at 5:30. So we're going to order these parts and make sure they get delivered during the week between, you know, work hours. And we're going to grab it from the front door before he gets home.
That way he'd never know.
He would never know. So he's going to call his credit card company when he sees this unauthorized charge. And he's going to say to the credit card company, I didn't order $300 worth of stuff from Target. And they're going to say, well, Target has sent us delivery confirmation. It was shipped to your door and arrived at your doorstep. So this does not appear to be a theft. It appears that you're trying to pull fraud, that you ordered something that was shown with tracking to be delivered to your door. And you're telling me you didn't order it and that you don't have it? And you're asking me, the credit card company, to do what exactly?
Oh.
Not a pretty situation.
Right.
But they couldn't have known this information about this guy without staking him out. You know, somebody had to sort of watch. And they normally won't just watch one house. They normally watch a bunch of them at any given time so that they don't have to park right in front of your house. It's not obvious. So you got to kind of be aware of your environment. What I'm saying is these sneaky things that people do to one another don't just happen on the internet, and they're not necessarily any more complicated. It's just the way that our mind processes is that, you know, oh, it's technical, so therefore
right.
I can't
learn it.
One of the examples. One of the examples I like to give, it's actually something I just realized when dealing with a lot of the retired folks. They say, well, you know, I wasn't born into this stuff, so it doesn't come naturally to me. And it occurred to me, wait a minute. You guys actually have an advantage the younger kids don't have. What could that possibly be? Some of the terminology we use. Well, what do you mean? The terminology is all modern. No, it isn't. When you want to copy somebody on an email, what button do you hit? CC, right?
Yeah, right.
What does CC stand for? Carbon copy.
Carbon copy, yeah, there you go.
How many kids know what carbon paper is? How can you explain what a carbon copy is to a 12-year-old child who's never seen a typewriter?
Right.
I mean, if you want multiple copies, why don't you just print two copies? You know,
that's right. That's right.
So in a way, the older people have an advantage with some of the technology because it's using terminology that they're familiar with. And I will bet you in 50 years that is still going to be CC instead of just copy. It's going to be carbon copy. And nobody's going to know what the carbon part of it is, because there is no carbon part of it. And yet that doesn't stop us from understanding the process. And it never stopped us from using technology simply because we didn't know what the letters meant. You may not know the meaning of I took my 4x4 to the ATM so I could go rent a DVD to play on my HDTV or a VHS to play on my VCR, but you knew everything I was saying.
Sure.
You may not know what VHS stands for, but right. you knew what it is.
Yep.
But this is often an obstacle to getting people to learn as they go, oh, those words are unfamiliar to me and therefore I can't learn this.
I call poppycock on that whole thing because I think people just get to a point where there's just certain things that they don't want to learn. You're right. This does directly relates with life in general. Anything that you want to learn, you can, take the time and effort to go out there and learn that, whether it's about protecting yourself, protecting your home, protecting yourself on the internet, protecting you against credit card fraud, whatever it might be. If those things are important enough to you, I think no matter what age you are, you will learn them, because I've seen my parents learn games that they never played and do things that they've never done when they were young because they had kids and there was no way to do them that they do now. And guess how they had to do that? They had to go and learn how to do it. But because I get the same thing from them on the technology is that, I just don't want to have to mess with this. And what you're telling me really is you just don't want to take the time and effort to learn something that has to do with your laptop or your phone or whatever, and they do on some things, but I'm just saying as a general rule, it's tough for people to take time and effort into learning something that they have basically no interest in.
And I think, have we answered our own question?
Pretty much.
How do we keep people from getting themselves infected if, in fact, they don't care enough themselves?
You can't.
To want to take steps to avoid it.
But I think you've hit something on the head. I think that we can definitely at least give people education to the extent of at least we're giving them good information to go with. And once we do that, we can kind of go, okay, I've given you the information. Now, what you plan on doing with that, that is totally up to you.
I was just typing on my keyboard here to try and find, here it is, Gizmo. This guy calls himself Gizmo. Gizmo's Freeware Reviews.
Yeah, okay, I remember that one.
TechSupportAlert.com. Yep. I had him on the radio show years ago.
Yep. Okay.
I think he's based in Australia. And I wasn't sure if he was still around. And this site has been up for a long, long time, and it has a huge catalog of free software that is listed under several categories, just the best free software lists or software by category from security, multimedia, cleanup. They have a security wizard to help you select the best free security software for your PC, and then just an advanced search if you're looking for anything like, I want to clone a hard drive with some free software it does that, but not only free, but good. So the main thing is that when you are getting something that's free, that you know it's coming from a legitimate source, right? So if you have a resource like TechSupportAlert.com, which is Gizmo's Freeware Reviews, then at least you know if you don't like the product, it at least didn't harm your computer or didn't have a reputation for that, which is more than just blindly getting a pop-up. And there is that one update that really bothers me because it doesn't show up in the bottom right corner. And it's an important one, and that's Adobe Flash, and you only see it when you reboot your computer. I'm somebody who leaves my computer on 24/7. So if right. Adobe updates Flash 10 days ago, I won't know it until I reboot 10 days later. And one of the very first things that comes up after the fresh booting is a window that looks like the kind of window you would see. Yeah, it's a pop-up.
Yeah.
It says you need to update your Adobe Flash.
Right.
And they always want to install Google Chrome and Google Toolbar.
Right. Yep.
I highly recommend that you do that when you see that window. But you should be getting that from, flash.adobe.com. You've got to pay attention to that web address you're being directed to. That's where my eagle eye goes to determine if anything's real or not. If somebody says they're sending me an email, I don't know who it's from. Who is the email addressed from? Is it addressed from Mark and the email address is sally@aol.com? That doesn't make any sense.
I just thought about something as we're sitting here talking about this. How do you educate the the person on, you know, what software is good to use and when to update, how to update, all that kind of stuff. And you're bringing up some good points, because even with the, like the website, would you say it was gizmo.com?
TechSupportAlert.com.
TechSupportAlert.com.
It started out as a tech support site.
Okay.
And then it became a freeware review site. And then he didn't want to lose all the traffic that he had gained from having tech support. So the website name has nothing to do with what it is.
Gotcha. Anymore. But you know, this is good information that as you're keeping in touch with your clients, that you can send an email to and just email your whole client base and say, hey, here, check this out. If you're interested in, you know, free type of software that, you know, works, that we believe works well with whatever you're, you know, whatever you're trying to do, and, you know, has less of a chance of breaking your computer.
Well, let me ask you this. Does the mechanic show you how to change the oil on your car?
No.
No. You just bring it to him and he changes it.
Right.
We're techs. We're in the business to service computers. And that includes preventive maintenance, which is all an oil change is.
True.
So the best thing you can do, in my opinion, is not to educate your clients, not to shove information down their throats they don't want. You put it in your calendar that you serviced them 6 months ago. When you contact them in 6 months and say, you know what, you're due for a tune-up. You generate more business that way.
True.
Because you can nip it in the bud. How bad could it get in 6 months, right?
Right.
Compared to, well, however bad it is, it'll be worse if you wait longer. If somebody says, look, I think it's a little bit more money than I want to spend. All right, let me check in on you once a year. Okay. But you need to do that. That's part of your job. They're not going to know the last time. You know what? While I was building computers, people would say, when did you build this computer for me? Are you kidding me? I built like five a day for the last 10 years. I don't know when I built that for you. So I started to put stickers on the site. I just got a label maker, April 2012.
Okay.
You know, I don't put the exact date. That's not necessary. Besides, the date I print the label may not be the date the computer gets delivered. So sure. I just put the month and the year. Now, from that point forward, when they call me, is it time to upgrade yet? I don't know. When did we sell that computer? Or when did you buy it for me? I don't know. Well, look on the side. I got a sticker. Oh, it's May of 2006. Oh, wow. Yeah. I didn't realize it's been that long. We need to replace that.
There you go.
Okay. Let's not even spend any time trying to speed it up. That's May 2006. That's, you know, that's a Pentium 4. Let's get something more modern in there. So that's my job. That's our job as techs.
Right.
Okay. And your car dealer will do that. They'll say, hey, it's been 3 months since your oil change, or it's been approximately 4,500 miles, whatever every car manufacturer is a little different. And you reach out to the customer. So in my opinion, when you're training the customer, you're giving away your job.
Right.
So why would you do that? Now, there are customers who want to learn that stuff, but they can go to school for that. I'm not a tutor. I'm a tech. If I'm a mechanic, it's not my job to teach you how to drive a stick.
Right.
Okay, that's just me. And I was talking with Corey over at Instant House Call. He had an expression I really liked. He said it was like asking the butcher to feed the cow. I love that expression. Now, if you want to do that, that's your business. You run your business any way you want to, right? And a lot of people say, Kerry, why don't you just train him? I don't train people. If I train you, I want you in a room with 30 other people. Because if I have to train each person one by one by one, it's a very inefficient means of communication.
Right.
I'll make a YouTube video and I'll train, you know, 10,000 people all at once versus one by one by one and repeating myself 10,000 times. It's frustrating to me. I don't have the patience for it. I think that's a separate business. I think tutoring is different from repairing. And it's okay if you want to do both.
Right, right.
But understand that when you're doing the tutoring, you're taking away business from the repairing. If you're showing people how to avoid infections, if you're showing people how to do their own maintenance, you're working yourself out of a job.
At
the same time, when you repair a computer and there's nothing broken with it, you've worked yourself out of a job.
Right. And I think there's a fine line in more from an aspect of, you know, somebody wants to know how do I copy a disk or, you know, there's all these different programs, or how do I, you know, what's a good video player, that type of stuff. I think there's a lot of stuff out there that you can still let people know, you know, safe places to go. The bottom line is, the bottom line is most people that don't want to mess with that stuff, as far as fixing your own computers, they're not going to anyways. And they're going to be willing to pay somebody else to do it. The ones that kind of want to learn and want to be able to do what they want to do, and, you know, hey, if they mess it up real bad, they're going to bring it to us. But most of the time, maybe they're going to try to, you know, do their own thing. That's fine, because I don't know that those are necessarily the customers that I'm looking for. I want the ones that, you know what, I ain't got time to learn this. I don't care. I just need it to work. And, you know, so I guess that's what I look for. I look for a way that you can just communicate to people just good information and know that 99% of them are not going to do anything with that information that you share with them. And that's just my opinion, because that's pretty much what I see.
You know, Best Buy will match Amazon's prices. Did you know that?
I heard something about that a few months back. Is that true?
Yeah.
Okay.
And they said, well, aren't you going to lose too much money? And they said less than 10% of the people, I think it was even a smaller number than that, that shop here will bother doing that. Even though they know they will do it, they won't put the effort forth.
Yep.
They'll just pay the money because they want the product today.
They'll buy a $70 HDMI cord and, you know, that'll be fine.
Because they can leave with it now versus... Exactly. You know, waiting till tomorrow for Amazon to deliver it. So, right. So there is this attitude among the consumers in general. Like if I don't answer my phone and I let it go to voicemail and it's a new customer, they often don't leave a message. And I know what they're doing. They're calling who's going to pick up the phone right now.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm a one man shop. So if people don't respect that, then that's not a customer I want anyway. If they think I'm going to just drop what I'm doing because you called me and you've never called me before, I don't know who you are. You've never given me a dime, but I'm somehow sitting by my phone, staring at it, waiting for it to ring. Then you don't understand my business. That's more of a larger scale operation, you know, a corporate type.
Yeah,
and I think Geek Squad kind of thing where they're answering phones and they've got somebody there to answer phones all day. And then the other thing they'll try and do is try and get you to diagnose it over the phone. And if you've never been a customer of mine, this is a dangerous thing to do, because if you diagnose it incorrectly or if they injure themselves following the advice you gave them, although it's never happened to me or anybody I know, in theory, they could sue you for that.
Sure.
Even though you never charged them and you've never even met them face to face. So you always tell them, I need to see it.
Yep.
I need to see it to diagnose it. And it's a hard thing for me to say no. I really don't like saying no. So I've had to figure out a way that when clients pull that number, well, could it be this? Could it be that? Yeah, it could be that. It could be this. It could be, honestly, it could be, and I'll name every component. It could be the motherboard. It could be the RAM. It could be the CPU. It could be the hard drive. It could be a virus. It could be a power supply. It could be... a number of different things that I could only determine if I see it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there's truth in that statement anyways. Now, I don't necessarily name everything off in the computer, but I'll name, you know, the top three things that it could be. And
I do that to overwhelm them. So that's like, oh my gosh, that's a lot of information. Exactly.
You know, and I, most of the time though, what really gets the customers in my door anyways, is basically I go, you know what, bring it in. It's a free diagnostic. You know, you leave it with me. I'll check it out, see what's going on. I'll call you before I start work on it, let you know how much it's going to be. And 9 times out of 10, when they bring it to me, I diagnose it. Whatever price I'm charging for whatever that fix is, they just pay it.
Now,
because I've already got it.
Free diagnostics.
Yes.
That's not always a good thing. I know OfficeMac is offering free diagnostics, and I've heard the stories of people bringing their machines in for a free diagnostic who ended up leaving with a brand new $1,000 computer.
Really?
It was a way to get them in the door, tell them this thing's not worth fixing, but you know, we've got this one on sale right now. You came at a good time, because have you ever been to a car dealership and you didn't come at the right time?
No.
Like, you were so lucky you were here today, because this is on sale today.
Right.
Yeah, what a coincidence.
Yeah, it's amazing how that works out, right?
Yeah. So it's the last one we have on the lot in the color you want. Huh, how about that? It's like they didn't just mass manufacture 8 million of those just like that.
Right.
That's the only one. Okay, I better get that one then. Well, there was somebody else that was looking at it yesterday. So if you don't get it today, so there's all these manipulation techniques.
Oh, now, yeah.
I have this belief that when you're dealing with a small business, and this may be biased because I am a small business person.
Right.
Both figuratively and literally. that a small business person is going to work harder and is more interested in doing the job than in making as much money as possible versus right. a corporation whose sole purpose is to generate revenue dividends for their shareholders.
Exactly.
That's the only purpose they have. It is yep. not to provide the customer with good service. It is not to sell a quality product. Now, if those things lead to generating good dividends for the shareholders, then so be it. But sometimes it doesn't. And the consumer sometimes doesn't understand why they're being dismissed when they feel that they've been disrespected or feel taken advantage of, when they don't understand that the techs that work in these large corporations aren't the most qualified techs. That person, I'll tell you the worst, phone support. Do you know if you want to be in phone support, you can be. And I don't care if you're a stay-at-home mom who does never ever touched a computer in her life, you can work in a call center for technical support for Apple, for HP. It requires no technical experience at all.
Yeah, you just follow a script. Sure.
So it's frustrating when you need help and you call somebody for help. And what you're told is stuff you already know from somebody who knows less than you do. It's
right.
frustrating.
Oh, exactly.
And when we get back to this whole tutoring thing, I think if somebody really wanted to know, here's the thing that gets me. You and I grew up, I guess I'm going to sound like old people. You and I grew up. how dare you? We grew up in a time where you needed somebody's approval to write a book, to get it published. You needed somebody's approval to get in a recording studio, to get your band, to get an album together.
Right.
You had to have somebody finance that. You needed somebody to stand behind you and promote it. If you wanted to be an actor, you had to go on auditions and you had to just keep going on and going and going, well, you're just not what we're looking for.
Right.
Now, you want to be on a show? Turn on your camera.
Exactly.
You got YouTube. You want to write a book? Anybody can write a book, self-publish it through Amazon, and it'll print on demand. You know, if you write a book for any of the big book companies, they have to print like a minimum 4,000 books in order to bring the price down. So a lot of the big, big book companies still haven't embraced modern technology. And so things with that typographical errors, they can be fixed on the next run if they sell the first 4,000. But when it's print on demand, it can be constantly evolving and changing and improving so that the next person who buys the book gets the corrections. And the person who bought the book previously could, you know, if it's downloaded electronically, like through a Kindle, get the update for free.
Right.
All right. But even if it's on paper, at least it's getting more updates faster. And you don't need anybody's approval to do it. You just publish. You want to be an author? You know what you do? Start writing. You want to be a musician? Start playing. This is not the way it used to be. And if you want to learn how to fix your computer, you have Google.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, if you want to learn what that strange pill is that you found on the floor, you can type in the numbers of that pill into Google and it will pull up. If you want to know what the time is in Ontario right now, just type in what time is it in Ontario.
That's right.
In Google. If you want to know the tracking number status of not the tracking number, but if you want to know the status of a tracking number, especially for like UPS or FedEx, if you get that tracking number in email and you highlight it and hit Control C, then go to Google and hit Control V to paste it. Boom, the first thing that pops up is your package that matches that. You don't even have to go to UPS. It comes right up on Google.
Wow. You know, I never even thought about that. That's
a lot of
good
stuff that you can find out very, very easily by simply typing the right words into Google. So what I'm trying to encourage is people who want to be self-supportive and self-sustaining, I want to encourage that.
Right.
And at the same time, you need to pick a side. If you say, look, this is not something I have time for, This is what I pay you for. That's great. I will remind you when. Would you like me to get back in touch with you in 6 months? That's my job. I will put it on my calendar, reach back out to Bob Smith in 6 months, did a tune-up, you know, put little notes in your account. That's part of your job, as far as I'm concerned, if you're a computer tech.
Right. Yeah, no, that's, yeah, this has all been, you know, very good information to, I think, help people out in understanding, you know, the difference with free software and, you know, the difference in it, of educating people and just helping people to understand, you know, what it is that they're doing when they're downloading this stuff. And education can come in many forms. You know, you let people know, you email them, you know, whatever. But I think the bottom line comes back to is the people that really don't want to work on their own stuff. And there are people like that. You know, there's only certain things I do on an automobile anymore. I don't do everything. A lot of times I'll just take it down to a shop and say, here's what's going on. I just need it fixed because I need my car for transportation. You know, so I think those people are still going to, even if they don't want to learn, they're going to pay somebody to take care of their problems. And, you know, I don't think there's ever going to be any shortage of business for computer repair of some sort.
Into the
future, you know.
Yeah, it's everything's still created with the PC. It might be consumed on a tablet or a smartphone, but it's not created on the tablet or smartphone. And, you know, the thing is really, there is this analogy, whether it's the guy who knocks on your door offering you the free alarm for your house if all you pay for is sign a contract for the monitoring for 2 years, or it's that free cell phone if you just pay for the contract for 2 years, or it's the free diagnostic where they find a bunch of stuff wrong.
Right.
The dealership that I take my car to offers $8.88 oil change. I can't do that myself for $8.88.
No.
And then they tell me this really happened. They tell me my brakes are really, really bad on the front. And this is a dangerous situation. We really don't want you to leave here with these brakes. We'd like to take care of this for you. And they want a lot of money for it. And I said, well, I really don't have that amount of money. Well, we can work with you on that. You know, this is just, I would feel bad if you left here and then your brakes went out and something happened and I let you leave. And I said, well, I appreciate your concern, but these have been the same brakes I've had on my car for 15 years. I don't think they're going to stop tomorrow. But after 15 years and 183,000 miles, it makes sense they need to be exchanged. You know, I understand they're due.
Sure.
So I talked to a neighbor of mine who works on cars because I haven't done this in a long time. And he says, oh, yeah, brakes on that car, $40. What about turning the rotors? Oh, you can pick up rotors for $20 a piece. So
yeah.
$80, we pull the wheels off. We pull the calipers off and the brakes, I swear to you, look like brand new. They are down maybe one third from their original spec.
Wow.
They're 15 years old. They're the original brakes, disc brakes all the way around. And I said, well, I've already got the car apart. I might as well just go ahead and change the brakes out anyway. So I did change the rotors, the brakes, put it all back together. 20-minute job. Put the parts back in the, you know, put the old parts in the box. The new parts came in because they're dirty. And on Monday morning, went back to the dealership and said, I would like to speak with the service manager. And I brought in the paperwork that showed that my brakes were very, very low. They were down to 3 millimeters, according to the paperwork. And I said, here are the brakes. I pulled them off yesterday myself. Explain this to me. And he says, oh, this is not acceptable. You know, we have enough work. We don't need to be, I tell my guys, we don't need to make stuff up. We have enough legitimate work. I go, well, I'm pretty upset because I wanted to be able to brag that I went 250,000 miles on my original brakes. And you guys had me so freaked out, I changed them out. I can't say that anymore. You know, everything I was building up towards is over.
You shattered my dream.
It's the one part on the car I haven't had to change. Like right. I had to replace everything in this stupid car except the transmission and the brakes. And now I didn't even have to do the brakes. It's like you guys heard the story that the car's got 15 years on it. And they instantly said, well, they need to be changed. I don't think they ever really looked.
Right. No, they couldn't have. Or, yeah, that would be grossly negligent.
But here's the thing. When I drove out of there, I'm looking at my tires. And it seemed like my back tire was kind of low. It had 20 pounds of air in it. It was half empty. So you couldn't put free air in my tire. Right? And not only is that bad for gas mileage, talk about a safety issue.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So again, if this was just a guy like my neighbor who I had helped me with it, the guy who's self-employed, I think, is going to take better care of you.
Yeah.
He's not looking to find the cheapest help. You know, he doesn't have the overhead of the big building and the advertising. And so the best way is, well, how do you know where to find that? Because some of the guys out there, let's face it, shouldn't be in business at all.
True.
Very That's true. All referrals.
Yep.
So Absolutely. Always ask your customers to give you referrals. So if they say, hey, you did a great job, you know, and they say, oh, thank you. You know, if you know anybody else that can use computer repair, can I give you a few extra cards? And then that way you can lose a few, you could give a few out. I've never had anybody say no.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Everybody They're like, else. Are you kidding me? You're a bargain. I want to tell everybody about you. Give right. me as many cards as you want to give me. I'm going to go put these computer cards in our computer lab so people know to call you.
Right.
And that's the best advertising, because what I found is when you pay for advertising, you've got to work harder now to cover that debt that you just created to pay right. for the advertising. And then it's been very unsuccessful. I mean, the percentage of calls I get from an ad, you know, like a coupon in the mail, stuff like that, it's like less than 1%.
Oh yeah. And you know, we were even talking about advertising. But I think one of the things that, you know, like I use Google AdWords, which has been solely 100% of my business. It's worked fine for me. I've been in two different areas in Michigan and I haven't had a problem in either. It's more than paid for itself, you know, month in, month out. But the second way that I get a lot of my customers is by referrals. Mm-hmm. And I think it is by doing that top-notch job and, you know, taking an interest in the customer. Because I've had people that, you know, I've said, hey, you know what? The motherboard is bad in this laptop. This thing's like 4 years old. I said, in my opinion, it would be best if we just replace the laptop, because they're so inexpensive.
Right.
And you would not believe, I would say 50% of the people have me replace the motherboard anyways.
Mm-hmm.
They like that machine. And you know what? They trust that I'm going to do a good job on it. And they're fine with that. And they'll pay the $300 to have it fixed.
So if we can all agree that referrals are a great source to finding a good tech.
Absolutely.
Referrals are a great source to finding a good restaurant or a good mechanic yes. or a good yep. doctor. Then why should it be any different with free software?
Good point. That is a good point.
I think that's where I'm going to end.
There you go. No, that brought it full circle, Kerry. That's awesome. Absolutely. I 100% agree with that, because just like you said before, referrals are, I mean, they really are what makes business grow and what makes business go round. So,
and if we tell you, somebody you trust tells you, VLC is a great media player. It's completely right. free. Unchecky is a great free program. Zcleaner. Any of the products listed on that website, Tech Support Alert, where it's all freeware reviews, even though you don't know that person personally, this person has a good reputation, has been doing this for a long right. time, and you can trust that referral, that at least, not that the software is going to be good, but that it's not going to harm your computer.
Right.
Again, whether or not it's good or not, that's depending on the individual to decide.
Yeah, most individuals wouldn't know that either. But anyways, that's just my opinion.
But you know what? You know what you like. If yes. I was a professional chef and I put a plate of chicken wings down in front of you and you said, are these hot and spicy? And I said, no. And you bit into them and you're like, oh my God, these are hot and spicy.
Right.
Did I lie? Was I wrong? Because to me, they're not.
That's true.
But that I'm the true. Professional chef. I'm the expert. So isn't what I said more true than what you believe? No, it's not. It has nothing to do with it.
It's true for you. Yeah, you're right. You're right. That's a good point. All right. Well, Kerry, I've enjoyed this conversation with you, and I think we've covered a lot of good topics this time around.
Some chicken wings now.
Yeah. If anyone wanted to get in contact with you, what would be the best way to do that?
Be sure and check out the Tech Vets podcast. If you're a tech or wanting to become a tech or in the tech business, very similar. That it's by techs for techs.
Yep.
As Podnuts Daily. Myself and Mike Smith do a show about every other week.
Excellent show.
not on a strict schedule. It's just we do it when we have the time. And then also my YouTube videos, which you can just go to by going to careyholzman.com, CareyHolz, like zebra, MAN.com. And you'll see my latest computer build videos. I've got a scathing review of an HP computer that you've got to see to believe.
Yes.
And
very good, yep.
I've got some other really cool videos coming out that nobody else on YouTube has done. So I'm looking forward to that. Awesome. So check them out. It's all free.
There you go. Free. Hey, we'll end the show with free.
It's totally safe.
And it's totally safe.
Won't harm your computer. There's actually no cost to this free, but the cost of your time.
That's great. Awesome. Well, I appreciate you coming out again. And if you guys want to find me, you can find me on Google+ at Jeffrey Hallish or Twitter at TechNutPC. And if you have any questions or would like to be a guest on the show, please email us at podnutsdaily@podnuts.com. And I will reiterate that again. Go ahead and send us some feedback, guys. You know, just any information that you have, things you like about the show, maybe things you don't. You know, and especially those techs out there that are listening to the show, if you want to come on a show, it's very easy, and I don't bite. You know, we'll just have a good time talking about tech, and that's really what the show is about, just to share what you're doing in your shop with other people that are either starting out or have been in business for a while. And you guys can help support the Podnuts Network. The next time you're shopping in Amazon, go to podnuts.com/Amazon. And I want to thank everyone for listening and subscribing to the show. We'll see you next time on Podnuts Daily. Come check out some of the other podcasts on the Podnuts Network, like Android App Addicts. It's now a daily podcast. 5 days a week, each show the perfect length to get you through your daily commute or workout. If you have an Android device and aren't listening to this show, you are missing out. Or if you're interested in remote support, check out the Remote Support Show. If you want to laugh and have a good time hearing about tech, listen to the Geeksters. If you want to learn about Linux, then check out Linux for the Rest of Us. And if you're into all things server-related at work or for fun, check out The Server Show. In the market for a new phone, check out Mobile Dynasty to get all the latest information on your mobile technology. If you're tired of being unhealthy, then check out Health Nuts. Come check out these shows and more over at podnuts.com.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.